On today's episode of Big Time, the podcast, we are joined by our second consecutive 1,000-point scorer, a man who's just as nice with the Clippers as he is hitting those one-legged, step-back, fadeaway three-pointers from the corner. We're joined by St. Agatha's own and wisdom pioneer legend, Chad Gervais, on Big Time, the podcast. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another round of Big Time, the podcast. We're on location once again. This show is fucking taking off and it's taking us everywhere. We're on the road again in Gore, Maine, coming to you live from Goodfellas Barbershop. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined by a legend, our first legend from St. Agatha, Maine. Chad Gervais in the building in his own shop. Chad, say what up.
Holla, what's up, my people?
Holy shit, we got Chad Gervais in the building. Chad, it's a fucking beautiful shop. I'll just start with that.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have me on the show. You know what I mean? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no doubt. So, we got to get right to it. What I like to always ask my guests when we start this episode off, Chad, what are you sipping on for today's episode?
Right now, I'm sipping on a 10-calorie Celsius, Acai raspberry, followed up with a little bit of green tea.
It's a good choice. I vouch for Celsius. It's amazing. It's fucking delicious. Listen, we're going to get right into it. I'm going to start off with the hard-hitting question just to kick this show off.
I'm ready.
On your high school team, there were three Gervais. Were you the best Gervais in your own high school team?
Of course. Hands down, without a doubt.
All right, I was joking a little bit. That wasn't the first. That wasn't the hard-hitting question. We're jumping the gun a little bit. We're going to take things back like we always do and go through the life and times of Chad Gervais, touch on some things here and there, tell some stories and have a good time. Before we do so, Chad, can you give him a big time? How do you say big time?
Big time.
Big time. All
big
right.
Time comes in various multiple ways. Yeah. It can be added to many sentences, statements, phrases. Big time is an important part of the barbershop culture in Gore, Maine. Big time.
So right now, Charles holds the record for big times in one episode. I think Chad may break that.
We're going to jangle this right here.
So we'll see how things go. Let's get into it, man. So St. Agatha, you call St. Agatha your birthplace, right? Or were you on the town line of Frenchville? Or?
No, right downtown St. Agatha, about a mile from beautiful Long Lake. And the good old Lakeview Restaurant and Long Lake Sporting Club.
What was it like growing up in St. Agatha? Were you the outdoors type or were you the indoors type?
You know,
type?
Growing up in St. Agatha, I probably, was on my bike for about 25,000 miles my first 10 years of life. But growing up by the lake, did a lot of hunting, fishing, a lot of family time. And growing up with the small town family principles,
yep,
that brought me where I am today.
No
so
doubt.
It's a beautiful thing. Yeah, I love St. Agatha. It's a storybook town, you know what I mean? Place where you had a mortar cross track to Wing Night for $4.25 to Long Lake Sporting Club where you could get a little Crown and Ginger on the rocks. You
know? The possibilities were endless in St. Agatha. Well, what was it like back then? Because now it's kind of like a small, very small, quiet town.
Yeah, growing up in St. Agatha as a kid, I mean, it felt like a metropolis for the most part. Madawaska was next door, feeling like it was New York. But in Fort Kent, was even bigger with the hospital and the college. But yeah, growing up in St. Agatha was a beautiful thing. I had a lot of good athletes that were upperclassmen and people that graduate long before my time.
Yeah.
But I grew up watching a lot of sports, being that there's nothing else to do except play Nerf hoop, watch the worst Boston Celtics team in history.
Yeah,
and then, yeah, exactly.
So I feel like there's a couple middle schools on Long Lake, right? Wasn't there Dr. Levac School?
Dr. Levac School, yeah, it was grades K through six.
Is that what you went, or is there?
I went. Yeah, everybody goes Dr. Levac School, and then St. Clair had its own elementary school, and then from that point, you had your choice to go to Wisdom or Fort Kent.
Okay.
From St. Clair, yeah.
So, what were the athletics like at Dr. Levac School?
Dr. Levac School athletics were very minimal. I remember getting yelled at because I used to hog the ball all the time. You got yelled at by my gym teacher, Mike Labby, saying you'll never make it in the NBA, pass the ball. So starting off at a young age, it really all kicked off for me personally was the dare game. Percy Tebow was the dare coach, and he said that Madawaska had pounded us by 100 points like the last 7 years, and he was so proud to have a couple like good ballers. So he's like, "Yo, try your hardest, jack up the score." I got a pair of Nike Air Max at Real's in Madawaska, $120. Thanks, moms. Good looking out. And then dropping like good 30 points. That was sixth grade. Finding my destiny right there.
Let's go back. What's this dare game? I don't even know what the hell a dare game is.
It's a dare challenge. Donovan Diggity, all those clowns, say no against drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was a battle between, it was dare program from Madawaska, dare program from Dr. Levac. They would, go head to head. And then basically it was shit talking rights for the dare program,
So teachers. Did you guys have was that your it for basketball? Did you guys actually have a
Yeah, we had no travel league. We had after school sports. Very minimal.
You didn't play against anyone? Didn't play Mad Time?
Nope, not for K through 6. Nope, nothing like that. But 6th grade, it was untraditional, but I joined the middle school team, which was at Wisdom. So I would travel from Dr. Levac after school, practice with the 7th and 8th graders. So that was the kickstart of all that.
And you came up with a good group of guys, right?
Great group of guys.
So let's name drop a little bit. Who'd you come up with?
Name drop. Let's go with, just start closest to my house, Kadoosh, Craig Bouchard, okay. Classic. And Jesse Levac, Matt Burgoyne, older classmen, Matt Nate Deshane, Jeff Michaud, Robbie Lavoie, who owns Gorm Chiropractic right next to me.
Okay,
name drop,
name
Robbie.
Drop.
That's
drop.
Big time. Big time name drop. So a lot of athletes, Josh Roy, great skier, great, great, great soccer player. Eric and Andy Soucy, the Soucy twins. Joey Soucy Schultz, big shout out.
So you guys all came up. You guys were all within a couple years of each other, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So you get to Wisdom, what would have been middle school? Wisdom Middle School?
Yeah. Middle school was Wisdom High. It was
part
all
of the high school.
Schools all combined. Yeah, 7 through 12.
At that point, you guys start having travel teams and stuff like that?
Correct.
Yep. So who was it? That was, you didn't play 4-10 because we didn't have travel teams
in
middle school.
We played Livestone, Van Buren, Washburn.
Who's your coach?
My coach, my sixth grade year, is Ricky Sear,
who
also resides in Gorm.
Okay.
Right down the hill from Paul's Gas, going to Frenchville.
There's another name drop, Paul's Gas.
I'm trying to think who coached me after that. I forget who coached. Oh, Chris Miller. Big shout out to Chris Miller. Chris Miller, UMFK alum.
That might have been his first game.
My 7th.
Right?
I never heard so many swears in the locker room. Chris Miller, big shout out. We still go to Red Claws games together, hang out all the time. Big inspiration of me growing up. You think he was shooting 39% at UMFK when I was beyond the arc when I was a 7th grader.
Yeah. So you guys started playing some of the other schools in the area. Were you guys competitive?
Oh yeah, competitive. Yeah.
Was there even a playoff or anything like
no,
that?
Absolutely.
Or just a regular season type thing?
Absolutely not. Regular season. The snow game might not even get a reschedule.
How long was the season? Because
it was a short period. So you had the open gym started I think late November, and because you had soccer, and then after late November, and then right into basketball, lasting probably a couple months or so. I don't think it lasted long.
And so you came up with the same group of guys before you got to high school. Though, I'm curious if you hit the. The basketball camp scene in middle school.
The basketball camp scene was a big thing for me because that incorporated the Fort Kent life.
Yeah.
And that was a big time moment for me. I can remember going to basketball camp my first year, might have been sixth grade, and first person I met was Ben Raymond.
Name drop.
Big time Ben Raymond.
Big time.
He had a reverse fitted Texas Rangers hat, which might have been the most stylish thing at its time.
Yeah.
And I walk up to the dude. The dude looks up to me, he goes, "What's up?" And I was like, "This dude's the man." He had bunnies like no other. And then I look at the other side of the court. He's like, yo, meet my sister. This is Gabby. And then at least meet my little brother. This dude was maybe 7, 8 years old, Ethan Raven. I got to meet those. I met all three and his cousin, Richard and James.
So this is where, this is a UMFK camp?
UMFK basketball camp.
They didn't even have that when I came up.
Yeah, this shit was unbelievable.
Was it like a week long?
Yeah, Dan, Coach Dan Clifford was there. Coach Dan Clifford was the one running the camp. This might have been in 96, 97.
That's way back.
Yeah.
So it was in the summertime?
Summertime,
they have any of the college players as
counselors?
Yeah,
all the college players were counselors.
So who was there? So Chris Miller must have been there.
I'm trying to think. Jordan, what was his name? We had tons of players. Chris Miller, Scott Richardson at the time, which later was my high school basketball coach. Big shout out to Scotty. Yeah. Scotty. All college players. You had, it wasn't Sean Tomlin and that whole crew yet, because that was more my era.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the good old days. Eating cafeteria, eating the UMFK calf.
Did you guys sleep in the dorms, or was it just like you travel?
That was a day camp. Oh, yeah.
Shit. Yeah. You do any of the other camps growing up, like anything like that?
Yeah, I did the
Kobe camp, or
Northern Maine Community College basketball camp. Fuck Bill Cassavant. Yeah. Those motherfuckers. I hate all those dudes. All those dudes was always in Drew Clevet, and all those dudes can vouch for me. I had NMTC basketball game. It was horrible. It smelled like rotten potatoes every morning we woke up. I don't know what was going on over there. There's a lot of county kids over there. The vibe was good. Had the little AIs at the time.
Shit.
Oh my God.
Old that's stuff. How it was too. Like, we didn't have that camp. We used to go to Tiger Camp in Fort Fairfield. And that's how it was too. It was like all the Southern Arista kids, and then just us from Northern Maine. And like, we couldn't fucking stand those. It's to this day, I can't stand those guys.
Yeah, the Pee Wee program was strong at Wisden for a little while, and then that fell off.
Yeah.
So never ventured any further than that. You didn't do like Kobe camp.
Never
like
further that? Than that. We had, you know, the common saying was, "You got money to play AAU. Yeah. You're just gonna play regular basketball. You're gonna go to school, and that's it.
No,
we got money to travel you around."
Did you play any of the sports in middle school?
Yeah, I played baseball, basketball, soccer. I played all around the horn.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, all around the horn.
Were you racking up coaches' awards and all that shit?
No. I was just starting off young and just getting my feet wet and a little bit of everything. And then eventually just drifted off soccer and basketball, my two favorite sports.
Right.
Two favorite sports.
So one of your big physical characteristics is you have fucking long ass arms. Were they long ass arms back in middle school?
Yeah, they was long as long could be back since way back when.
Were you an awkward kid? Like, were you tripping over your feet and shit?
No, it was never awkward, but you know, the things that come to mind. I got a big time shout out right now for Aaron Duma, dropping 58 points at what's the campground in Eagle Lake?
Oh, Clover Hill.
Clover Hill campground. Aaron Duma holding records over there. That's when I met Charlie. Yeah. Charlito. I met him at Clover Hill. Justin Dubois, who later traded his soul for Fort Kent.
Yeah, we could talk
and
about
transferred
that.
Over. It's just still some rough feelings, you know what I mean?
It sounds like
it's
a little
rough
bitter.
Feelings.
It's a little bit bitter.
But yeah.
That's true. So you used to come to Clover Hill.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, I got some roots with Fort Kent. I used to go over to the Martins. My uncle's Dana Martin. So that's one of the Martin boys. So I used to go to St. Francis. I'd ball out there at the farm. You know what I mean? Those are some of the roots. And then Justin, I'd go to Clover Hill. And that's when I met Corey Thibodeau. I mean, Nick Thibodeau, Dumont, Charlito. I mean, everybody was balling back then on that little one hoop.
That was the shit.
Yep.
Good times. Fuck, summertime. I forgot about that. So let's venture to high school.
High school, growing up, weak as can be. I think I stepped into freshman year like 6 feet tall, 89 pounds.
I'm guessing you were probably varsity from day one, right?
Yeah, I got brought onto varsity my freshman year.
So you guys actually had a JV team?
Yeah, we had varsity JV. Oh, yeah, we're stacked. We had 20, I think we had 14 on varsity, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, I got the option to play varsity. And, of course, I was like, yeah, I'm going to take it. We were supposedly the first real freshman to make varsity. Me and my boy Ryan Parody. And then we hit varsity. And then all of a sudden, we went to Fort Kent for the open season tournament. I played probably 25 seconds. And then I went back. I was like, yo, I don't think I could do this. So I hit up Coach DeShane, RIP, Coach DeShane. I hit him up and I was like, listen, I think I got to swing. I got to do both. And he's like, nah, pick your poison. Yeah. I'm out. And then I went to play for Scotty Richardson,
oh,
JV.
Shit.
Yeah, from then
so
it was.
Scotty was coaching JV originally?
Yep. Scotty was coaching JV. And he had more of that UMFK, you know, that Jim Graffam running gun. So that was more of the ball that I was trying to play. So I dropped down to JV. And from there it was a wrap.
So you fucking gave work.
On the I learned that UMFK, ball from ninth grade.
Yeah. So your freshman year, you chose the junior varsity. What was the varsity team like?
The varsity team was a good group of guys. Heavily coached by Coach Deshane. He had a very, very strict regiment, very, very, very good coach, but just not my style of play. And when I was growing up, I was just more of just thriving to grab the rim, thriving to shoot threes, thriving to do everything that I hadn't seen before. So, that involves stepping out of the normal box. Yeah. And that's what describes me a lot, is stepping out of the box.
No doubt. Is there even a proud history at Wisdom? Like, did you guys make tournaments and shit like that?
Yeah, the tournament was very random. It was like one out of every 3 years.
Eight seed. Yeah,
Tournament was always a big myth. He's a myth. Trying to make it there, never get out of the first round. Yeah, it's tough.
So, freshman year, you made the decision to just get shots up on the JV team. Find yourself. Sophomore year, I guess, in varsity team, right?
Yeah, sophomore year up to varsity, and we end up, Scott Richardson ends up moving up to head varsity coach.
Right, so that's when things kind of changed a little bit.
Things changed up real well for me.
So at that point, who was it you had?
I had myself, Noah Michaud, Jesse Levac, Matt Burgoyne. We had a really solid squad.
Man.
Yeah, we had a really solid crew. Actually, my senior year, we had a whole starting lineup, 6-1 and over. So it was good.
Yeah, but you weren't, Matt's older than you.
Matt's a year older, yeah.
Jesse's a year older.
Yeah, Jesse a year older.
All right, so what was it like?
It was good. It was good. It was coming up into a program where, I felt like, I was going to have the green light. I was going to be able to play with everybody. We're all boys, but we're coming from an era that was necessarily, we should have done better than what we did, but we were drowned with, injury and so forth, but we had a good run. It was good balling with all my boys.
So you guys were kind of like, I guess you could say like a team on the rise, right? You got a bunch of young dudes.
With a lot of hope. But my sophomore year, we went into the Fort Kent tournament, and Wisdom always played Fort Kent first round Wednesday night, 8:30 game, showtime, big time, showtime. And what happens is that my sophomore year, I knew that freshman year I only got so many seconds. So that sophomore year, I dropped 36. Matt Burgoyne dropped 32. We beat Fort Kent by 8.
Which year was this?
Yeah, my sophomore year.
You dropped 36?
Yeah, I dropped 36 the first game of the season. That was against Fort Kent.
It doesn't count. It was preseason.
It doesn't count. Plus, it's Class B, Class D. Yeah. No one's really going to count that. But me, Jesse Levac, and Matt Burgoyne are the three scorers. The rest was the free throws, yeah.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I want to touch on that. So like the Twin River Classic.
Twin River Classic
used to be a big deal, right?
Yeah, three-time All-Star. Three-time All-Star repping right here.
You still have your shirt, your All-Star
I do
shirt?
Have one in a treasure chest at home.
Your little treasure chest.
With my Jose Canseco, Mark McGuire, Bash Brothers poster. I got folded up in 1987.
Holy shit. So yeah, like the tournament was, we used to look forward to that shit.
That was probably one of my best time of the year. This was like when the first snowfall, you got all that open gym, that year long of basketball, you get to rip it out. But at the same time, you didn't really have those times to play with Katahdin. When you had
Fort Kent. You weren't playing Fort Kent.
You weren't playing Fort Kent. You weren't playing Katahdin. It was a good time to play Madawaska had some great teams. Fort Kent had some good teams. I mean, shout out to J.R. Boucher. That dude was tearing it up back in the day. Sean Karen, Cody was guarding me. Dude, they had some Mitch Wakem with the bleached blonde hair. Backstreet. Yeah.
So you beat Fort Kent that sophomore year, and then you played, how did it work? You played, it was like a round robin, right? And then,
You didn't play everybody because it was just, if you lose, you go lose the bracket.
Yeah, I thought it was like just round robin and the top two teams played in the championship.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So you beat Fort Kent. Did you guys actually get in the championship game?
No.
We lost to
I think maybe Katahdin in the next game.
Willie Sleeper.
Yeah, who then transferred to Holton.
Yeah.
And then,
McCarty.
Yeah. Billy McAvoy, who was the coach.
Yeah.
Bill McAvoy, shout out to you. Coach of my McDonald's All-Star game. Holler at you, boy.
But just a bunch of good players, like, all around, right? So you mentioned J.R. Bushi, and then Madtown had what? Clavette?
Madtown had Clavette. Yeah, that was Clavette's senior year. Yeah. I think he had I don't know if his thumb was broken that year. I'm not sure if that was his freshman year. No, that was old school. That's way before that. But yeah, they had a lot of good players. Rusty Nato was coming up, and me and Rusty was going at each other head to head. Guy Michaud, who I just cut up today at Goodfellas Barbershop, big time Guy Michaud, twisting wrenches, fixing trucks, 24/7, working 20 hours a day. Big shout out to Guy Michaud. He was a big time baller back then too.
Yeah, man, it's kind of like you guys. Like, you guys had a bunch of guys that all came up together.
Yeah, we had a lot of athletic. The rivalry and the athletic ability was up to a good standard at that point.
Yeah. So like that tournament was really good at that point. And like I said, like, you guys had a group that all came up together. Madtown had a group that all came up together. Forkin had a group that all came up together. Just good stuff. Just good stuff at that time. So did you guys get anywhere sophomore year? Did you guys make it to the tournament sophomore year? Or what was the wins losses like?
Sophomore year, we made it to the Bangor Auditorium for a prelim game, which was, I believe, was new that year. They started doing prelims at the auditorium. And we actually beat Lubeck High School with a buzzer beater. Holla to Jesse Lubeck, big time buzzer beater.
So that was what, the 8-9 game?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it was 9-10 9-10 for the ninth for that spot. Yeah. And then we were on the foul line. Coach Scotty was like, "Yo, don't go for the rebound. We can't afford no loose ball foul." Borg shot goes up. Hits the back rim. Lubeck goes up, gets the two. We get the W at the buzzer. So minor, it was a prelim win, but it still felt good to get the W up in the Garden.
Yeah. So you played two games that year. Then you would play.
Yeah. And then I played. I believe that year we played Katahdin, who was the first time in Class D. So it was fucking.
And that's when they were going through a little run of just fucking running everyone off the court.
I believe we got smoked.
Yeah. That must have been. Well, let's see. So that was what, like 1998, maybe 99. So you guys were making some noise, getting the Bangor, but this is also around the time where St. Agatha / Wisdom's greatest player ever, Tracy Gourette, was coming.
This is also very true.
Right.
A little shout out to my sister Lonnie Gervais, who played on the gold ball team.
Right.
Tracy Gourette coasted into the finals. That was a big run for me, even being a fan from the outside in. You know what I mean? That girl's basketball was vicious back then. Tracy Gourette held it down, averaging double double every game, dishing, shooting, and they had a good team. My sister was getting double doubles. Joy Gervais getting double doubles. How Gervais big time.
Yeah, Tracy, actually, she lives in Bangor. She works out on my Planet Fitness. I see her all the time.
Yeah, she's got drive.
Yeah, she does marathons.
Yeah, yeah. So she's got drive.
She's in Planet Fitness running marathons on the treadmill, like, on Saturdays. Like,
yeah, she was a lot. She was motivated to me growing up because, I mean, even seeing her go through, you know, small town, you know, Class D, they didn't ever want to, I don't even remember they ever won a gold ball.
Yeah.
I think that was 98.
Was she like a straight gym rat back then? Like, was she just.
Oh, yeah, she was in the gym all the time. She was balling with the dudes, you know what I mean? Yeah, but she was whack.
Yeah.
Whack. Hitting it from everywhere. It was smooth. Yeah.
So you were tagging along for those games. So that was what, 2000 in one states?
No, that was 1998. That's when I was a freshman. Yeah. When I was a freshman. So I rode that whole journey after my JV year. Followed my sister. They won the gold ball. And no, shout out to them. That was a great run.
What was it like in St. Agatha at that time? The fucking town must have just
been on
fire. I mean,
St. Agatha was lit.
Yeah.
From the sporting club all the way to the church, you had everybody's lights on. You know what I mean? People standing outside, the buses coming in, Lakeview opened up shop. They had buffet for everybody. No, the town was lit. Everybody was happy.
Was there a parade? They had a parade?
They had a little parade. No, it was good. It was real good. You know, that's St. Agatha when it's prime.
Yeah, no doubt. Fuck. Yeah, I forgot. Like, I just remember Tracy being nasty, but I forgot that they won state.
Yeah, she was excellent. Great ball player, great leader. I didn't see a flaw in her game. I mean, that being, you know, testimony.
What was the gym like back then? Because it's not a very big gym. You only have bleachers on one side, and it's like three rows of bleachers pretty much, right?
Yeah, the gym was my spot, though. I remember, like, you know that floor was beautiful. That shine all the time.
Did you guys have a band?
We did have a band, but that shit fell off quick. So yeah, we was going with the Eye of the Tiger. You know what I mean? We were trying to hit it up with some rock music to start out the game back in my younger age. We switched that up a little bit.
Yeah. So like, the fucking gym must have been packed then.
The gym was full all the time. It's always the always most packed Madawaska Wisdom. You know, that's when it was crazy, selling it out, folding chairs on the sideline. But I mean, it only fit like 300 people deep. Right?
And you guys have probably the best mural on the wall of any gym I've ever been to.
Oh, without a doubt.
Pioneer on the wall.
Without a doubt. Davy Crockett up on the wall.
Just beautiful. Fucking whoever did that artwork, shout out to them. All right, so we talked about the state championship run. You mentioned your sister a little bit, getting to Bangor sophomore year. When did you start coming into your own? When did you start, like, as a sophomore, were you just getting shots up and you were the focal point on offense?
Nah, nah. Everything came with hard work. I mean, and honestly, Scotty implemented a summer program. So my sophomore into junior year was a big summer for me. I played more basketball than I had played in the past. And with the dedication of the upperclassmen, we were able to drive to Caribou, played in that league, played against Holton DeStefano's. We played against Caribou, Presque Isle, whoever other teams were in that league. And that really, you know, set me up for that junior season, which was a great year. Junior year was unbelievable.
So what'd you guys do junior year as compared to sophomore year? Sophomore year, you snuck in the tournament?
Yeah, junior year we snuck in the tournament, lost in the quarterfinals. Another you know, discouraging loss in the quarterfinals, but I had a great year. Ultimately it was Scotty's second year as varsity coach. It was good. I was averaging 27 a game. I really found myself at that point in time. But more importantly, no, the team played well. We had a good year. We made it to playoffs. I always wanted more, but that, you know, the typical case of never going far enough.
So was there someone that you kind of modeled your game after? Because I think most of us know you as fucking for the long ball. You were shooting deep threes.
Never nervous Jervis really stuck with me. But I honestly had the green light. It was a strength and it was a weakness at times. Yeah. And no, I had that green light. But honestly, I mean, we need to put points on the board to get the W. And I was willing to do that every game, hands down. Love to shoot the rock.
Yeah. So no one in particular you kind of modeled your game after? Like watched growing up, like, I want to be like this dude?
No, not quite. Honestly, I watched a lot of the UMFK ball players back then. Bob Davies was playing, Mr. Basketball, coach of Thornton Academy. And obviously my coach at the time, and Chris Miller, who was my seventh grade coach. So I watched a lot of the college ball, but I brought a different dynamic when it came to, like, you know, just playing, like, loosely, dribbling skills, shooting the rock. I was very gangly, so, you know, people really didn't know what to expect, you know what I mean? I had a little energy. I was gangly. Once I went green, it was green. Once I started hitting, it was wet. It was over.
So we talked about this on a couple episodes already, on the Ethan episode and on the Lon Bertham episode. We talked about how in our gym, on the old school floor, at least at the Indian Head, that was, like, deep. People would pull up from there. Was there something in your gym where you'd pull up from, or like?
Yeah, I believe it was the P on Pioneers, right on the side, right where the P was. Now, I'm a big corner shooter. I used to run to the corner, hide out there. That was more so college, but with high school, I mean, my junior year, I ran the point because Matt Burgoyne broke his ankle. So that was a big hit to us. We had a 6'3 point guard who broke his ankle the second game of the year. I mean, we were, you know, supposed to have some, you know, pretty legitimate season.
So that would have been that was his senior year?
Yeah, his senior year. Yeah, broke his ankle second game of the year against Ashland. So I ended up moving from the point, LeBron style. So I moved to the point, and at that point, you know, it was a different challenge for me going from the two to the one. So a little different.
Yeah. Let's get to the big year, senior year.
Senior year was the big year, but at the same time, I feel like I coasted. My junior year was my spot. Senior year, I tore my meniscus my playoff game against Jonesport in soccer. I did a little faulty slide tackle, ended up tearing my meniscus, bagging at Shop and Save in Madawaska. I had to get the arthroscopic surgery, but I was focused on making it in that Twin River tournament, which was huge. So unfortunately, being a little greedy, I just did 3 weeks of PT, and then I suited up for the Twin River, which was ultimately I played the Twin River at like 70%. But I couldn't miss that senior year tournament. I couldn't miss it. Yeah, that was
so senior year. It was looking like what? It was you.
Yeah, senior year was myself. We had the twins, Ryan Parody, Todd Tebow, Ricky Sirwa. We had a good little Craig Misha. We had a good little squad, man.
Not very tall though. Everyone, it was kind of a
small. Yeah, we lost the height. We were more speed at that point. But yeah, definitely a totally different dynamic when we lost Debo, Jesse Levesque. Jesse Levesque might have been the biggest dude to play high school basketball. He had that. He was looking at Roddy Cicely back in the day. That dude was getting. He got an offensive charge every 6 minutes in the game. Yeah, that dude was massive. I mean, nobody had that structure back in the day.
Yeah. Did you guys win any games at the Twin River?
Yeah, we beat Madawaska and no, what we played that year? I think we might have played a different roundup. I forget who we played.
Yeah. I think we beat Madawaska. I remember that.
At that point, Coop would have been gone. Drew was
yeah,
gone.
Yeah, Coop, Ben Marshall's gone. Everybody's yeah, gone. It was Rusty, me versus yeah. Guy Misha.
Yeah, Rusty was
Rusty
gone.
Was expelled. Yeah. I don't think he was in school for that tournament.
Yeah, he wasn't around. So, yeah, you beat a depleted Madtown team. And, shit. Yeah. What did you guys wind up doing? Did you guys win the tournament senior year?
What did you do senior year? I don't even remember what we did senior year. No, we didn't. I lost at the prelim. We lost against Southern Aroostook. Yeah, man, that was disturbing. I'm not really gonna get into that. That was whack.
But back then, you guys were Class D, but Class D was deep at that point, right?
Yeah, I feel like Class D was deep. Yeah, they had Katana just drop down from C. Shout out to Witta Pitlock, Darius Parker, East Grand High School. They ended up having a huge run.
Yeah.
They had a huge run. They became dominant in Class D.
Did you play?
Which
again?
Came out.
You
yeah, played I played against them every year. Yeah, played against Parker. They were legit. They had a good team come out. They ended up going to states, I think, that year, the year before.
I just remember watching the high school tournament on TV, and then East Grand would be playing, like they'd be talking about the team beforehand. They're like, "Yeah, you gotta watch out for Darius Parker." I'm like, "They got a fucking black dude on their team.
Dukes of Hazzard.
They got a black dude named Darius." And then you fucking see Parker, and you're just like, "Oh, that's not a black dude at all."
It'll take about 6 offensive charges.
But he was unbelievable. He was in high school though. Yeah,
he was really good.
Yeah,
yeah, so East Grand jumped off, and and then Katahdin was a dominant power. Brandon McCarthy. They had some really good ballers back then.
It was good shit.
Yeah.
I used to enjoy watching the Class D tournament on TV back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Did you make any all-star teams? You made the McDonald's
yeah,
team?
Yeah, I made the Brewster County all-star team. That was at Umpy.
Yeah.
Had a little fun with that with, the homeboys, Guy Misha, and so forth. And then I made the McDonald's all-star game. That was really good. I got to play with Buddy Levitt, Brandon McCarthy, Craig Allen from Central Aroostook. Our team lit it up.
Oh, Buddy used to get shot.
Yo, Buddy Levitt, my dude was wet. Yeah. That dude was diesel shooting from the three. It was unbelievable. Yeah, we ended up I got the MVP that game.
The
McDonald's game. I stole the ball from Nick Pilot twice, who went undefeated in high school for Valley.
Yeah.
He went undefeated. I got interviewed after the game. They're like, how did it feel to steal the ball from Nick Pilot?
Nick who?
Dude, Flager fouled me in the McDonald's All-Star game. Started a little brawl for both teams. That shit was classic. It was classic.
That shit was at Hudson, right?
Yeah, at Hudson. Yeah, had Randy Fletcher, Pills on the sideline. Yeah, Ryan Rivera.
Oh,
had some
shit.
Classic Hudson dudes on the sideline grilling us. I'll never forget that. That was the point in time where my bunnies really came. I started getting some good ups at that point in time. I was thriving a dunk from forever. And I remember they had me going out there. They had me start the layup line. I was jamming back then. Yeah.
And Huston's a great gym, like great.
Oh, he's got great bounce, great bounce. The energy in there, yeah. Was packed. Yeah, it was good.
I think Huston's actually one of my favorite gyms in the
for
state.
Hooping, yeah. Yeah, it's a shooting gym too.
Great atmosphere, like great bounce, great shooting gym, great light. It's a great court. How many points you put up? If you got MVP, you must have put up points.
No, I put up. I think it was 14 points.
Just well rounded.
Yeah, just well rounded. I think 14-9.
Were you charismatic? Is that what it was? You just got the crowd on your side. You were like Russell Crowe and Gladiator. Get the crowd on your side.
You know, back then I had some bangs swinging. I had the little. I had like the inch and a half bangs, a little curled up on the forehead, looking like Russell Crowe and Gladiator. But no, back then it was just different. It was a whole different game. I don't know. Just went out there to play. It was nice. It was cool.
Before we wrap up the high school segment, ask you a couple more high school questions here.
Hey.
Who'd you take to prom in high school?
I'm gonna go with big time, Kelly Sears.
Kelly Sears.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, she's like academic Heisman.
Oh, academic Heisman, yeah. I was about to say.
Hey, man, that's legit.
Yeah. was she from?
Kelly Sears. Yeah. Kelly Sears from St. Ives. She was, all-star in all three sports, pitcher, ball player, soccer player.
And just gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. Gorgeous girl.
Okay, so shout out to her. That's a name drop. Did you work Potato Harvest in high school?
I mean, I worked potato harvest from sixth grade on up. Started from rock picking. Started in June, right when you get out of school, end of May, you gotta do rock picking. You gotta walk miles and miles picking up pebbles, throwing it behind a cart. And then I did every potato harvest, man. Yeah, so that's how I bought my first three starter jackets.
Oh, shit.
Seattle, Charlotte, and Orlando.
Classic. You still have those?
No, I don't.
This shit would be dope right now. You could rock those right now. Oh, shit. So, yeah, having good times in high school. We're going to get to our first round of Ethan Asks, which we're still looking for sponsorship. People, come on. This is episode 5.
I'm listening. Let me know. If you need something, swing by the shop. I got you.
Okay, here we go.
On today's installment of Ethan Asks Big Time Questions, we got Chad Jamal Gervais in the building. What's up, buddy? So the question is, what have been your biggest influences in sports, music, life in general? Coming from a town full of Carhartts and snowmobiles, you kind of went against the grain there. So what made you into who you are today?
Yeah, sports, life, and music.
Yeah, that's deep.
Woo-wee, that's deep. That's intense right there. Sports, life, and music. Well, I grew up idolizing my pops. My pops was not overly big in sports, but he played softball, you know, growing up, in St. Ives, played for the Playboys in Madawaska. My dad was just somebody I really looked up to in all three things, which resembles his character. He's always had some good music coming on. Was always down for sportsmanship. My Gervais side of the family, a lot of the cousins were athletes, whether it be from frisbee to anything. I'm talking, we always have a ball or something in our hands.
Yeah.
So that active way of life, I mean, really looked up to my pops for that. I mean, I really appreciate his side of the family. You know what I mean? The being outside, being active, music. I mean, I really only developed into, you know, I was very sheltered, I think, at a young age. I had my first Bud Light in my senior year of high school. I never really got into anything. I was pretty straight and narrow. But I looked up to my pops a lot. And then with sports, I just looked up to the college athletes at UMFK. And then the rest of it was like, you know, the high school athletes just growing up. Just watching my peers and constantly just learning from them. And Tracy Garrett, you know, same thing. Just even if it was a girl or not, whatnot. I mean, learning from somebody who's taking it to the top and so forth. You know, putting up numbers, you know, exhibiting sportsmanship, all that stuff.
What about music? What were you into growing up, music wise?
Music wise, you know, I grew up in a country set. You know, driving and shopping safe from St. Agatha. My mom's listening to country music. Everybody listening to country music. My dad listened to guitar rock. You know, classic rock. So, you know, ultimately, after I started balling, you know, I started bringing hip-hop into the mix. Then jock jams, you know what I mean? That was big time back in the day. Jock jams was big time. But that was it for the music. I mean, it wasn't too crazy.
So, you show out at the McDonald's game. Were you getting any college looks off that, or was it just UMFK?
Nah, I had committed. I mean, being, you know, just a little sheltered, committed to UMFK already. I had Coach Derek Johnson, you know, from London, England. Derek, how you doing, mate? So I had my dude Derek. He recruited me, and my dream was to play at UMFK. I mean, that's what I looked up to, and that's what I look forward to. I love going to Fort Kent. You know, whether it's getting a double cheeseburger at McDonald's and going to the gym. I don't know how healthy that was, but I did it a lot.
Yeah. So you came around. Your freshman year was what, 2001?
Yeah, 2001, 2002, freshman year.
And you fucking joined a team full of characters,
Sports Illustrated, you know what I mean? This celebrated team, that team was legit, man. They were, I mean, my 90, that year was crazy. We had Rob Miller, Morris Young, Barry Bryant, Matt Dottier. You got all my dudes. Now, my roommate, Tyrone was a year before me.
Okay.
My man, yeah, Trent.
Who else? Aaron Clark?
Aaron Clark, Stafford Bentley. Big shout out to Staff. Yeah, man, we had a squad. Kenyon Glover, my boy, KG. Kenyon, my brother. Yeah, man, we had a squad, man. We had a ton of players.
A bunch of characters.
Drew Clavette, you know, yeah, can't forget about Drew.
Yeah.
I think me and Drew might have been the only county boys.
Only white guys, maybe.
Yeah, just about. Just about.
So I remember, because I lived in the gym growing up, so I used to go there all the time, try to play pickup and shit like that. And I remember just fist fights breaking out. It was always Stafford. Stafford was always getting in fucking fist fights and pickup. What were practices like?
Man, shut up.
Were practices intense too, like that, or what?
Yeah, practices were mad intense. We got my boy Chad Sweat was on the team. Straight fisticuffs, straight golden gloves, straight knocking mama out. Yeah, man, my boy Chad was tough back then. So yeah, we had a very confrontational. You know, might have been our biggest weakness was that, you know, playing together, we had the most talent in the conference, but playing together was a struggle. You know, so at that point in time, it was rounding the group up. Man, we had some good ballers back then. We had a lot of talent, people from all over, people from everywhere.
Yeah, fucking fun teams to watch. Incredible characters.
Shout out to my boy Alekhine Veloso from Porto, Portugal. Yeah, man.
Just all kinds of dudes. Crazy environment too. I remember fucking DJ Mark Brown in the corner. Right?
Oh damn, Mark Brown, New York.
Jesus. Yeah, Fat Joe leaned back, just blasting the entire warm up.
That's when Coop just moved up from Mississippi.
Yeah, Coop came back.
He's straight pressing them jeans. Yeah. Boy.
But like that was a good time because like you had Midnight Madness or whatever, like three-point shootout.
The whole three-point shootout dunk contest. Yeah, the whole nine.
Were you in the three-point shootout at all?
I don't know if I think I might have been the three-point shootout. Somehow I ended up in the dunk contest a couple years after that. I don't even know how that's possible. But I was just riding the wave back then. That was, to me, that was some of the best times of my life, honestly. The simplistic, you know what I mean, just living in a college, you know, living out of the house, just playing ball, you know, starting to travel. That was fun.
So were you living in the dorms when you were?
Yeah, I was living in the dorms. Living with Matt Doughty. It was from
that roommate. Was your roommate?
Yeah, Matt Doughty from New York.
You ever talked to him anymore?
Was the last I haven't talked to him in years, but yo, my boy was the man. Yeah, he was good people.
He was kind of quiet, right?
Yeah, mad quiet. Yeah, mad quiet, crazy good people. Ball player, great ball player, transferred to SUNY New Paltz.
Yeah. Oh, shit, yeah, he was nasty.
He was good. He was sleek. Yeah. Duco Dia.
So that's when you guys were in the MAC, right? That's
the MAC conference. Yeah, Farmership, Tri's, Huston, St. Joe's.
Everybody in Maine, pretty much.
That's when St. Joe's, Fisher, CJ Bose.
Or Fisher joined later on when it was a Sunrise. But, let's talk about this. We were talking so much about how dope the Twin Rivers Classic was. Talk about the Bengal tip-off.
Oh, the Bengal tip-off.
Bengal tip-off used to be a fucking big deal, right?
Bengal tip-off.
It used to be a big deal.
The Bengal tip-off was a big deal. Was a big deal. Only the sad thing is I only remember a couple of them. Yeah, yeah, man. The Bengal tip-off was nice. I sprained my ankle in a junior year. I sprained my ankle. Yeah, that was whack. Junior year, senior year, I forget.
I just remember they'd always get one terrible team. So it'd be like Northern Maine Community College.
Northern Maine Community College, yeah, exactly.
And then they always get some nasty team from like the city, so like Fisher College before they join the conference. They bring Fisher up. It's like,
yeah,
Fisher be nasty.
Yeah, they had some random teams there at some point. They had University of Cape Breton at time. I think maybe once they had PEI. They had a lot of Canadian teams. I think that was my favorite time. Was we used to travel to Halifax a lot, especially my freshman year. We traveled to Halifax, Cape Breton. We played the tournaments out there. That was crazy.
Yeah. So
playing games, going out in the clubs at night. I never forget my freshman year. We all go out to Halifax, and then the coach is like, "Yo, the first game we go out there, I start my freshman year first game, opening tournament of the season at Dalhousie. We're playing Mount St. Vincent." Coach is like, "You're starting." I'm like, "What the fuck? What the fuck you starting me for?" Yeah. I ended up getting MAC Conference Rookie of the Week. Oh. Yeah, it was 14-7. I think that's what it was, 14-7. I got Rookie of the Week, but then I didn't play fucking minutes after that for the rest of the
season. That was it.
Yeah, but we came back. That's the biggest deficit ever, 37 points. We were down 37 and a half, brought it back to OT. We won in overtime. That was crazy. But then coach was like, "Yo, I better not see none of y'all out of the club." Where do we go? I think it was like the dome. The dome in Halifax. We was four stories up. Coach is like, "Gotcha."
Yeah.
We was out. Yeah.
Look, I went to the dome like 2 years ago.
The dome is still open. The dome.
Yeah, that shit is still open. That shit is dope. So, let's see. I remember you got hurt at one point. Did you have like a severe injury in college?
Yeah, I had multiple sprained ankles in college.
Did you have like a...
I got ridiculed injuries.
Did you sit out 1 year or...
Yeah, I had multiple sprained ankles. Aside from sprained ankles, I turned into a Bret Michaels Rock of Love. You know, I went on the wrong track. You know what I mean? I didn't play a couple semesters, unfortunately, because of grades. You know, had I gone back and took things a little more serious, I probably wouldn't have been eating McDoubles and fucking drinking Orloff at night. But, I mean, that's what the college lifestyle was all about. You know, I don't regret anything, but at the same time, I did mess up in my day. But... You know, always enjoy, learn from the mistakes.
So at one point you came back though. It might have been your senior year. Like you were like the focal point, right? Didn't you come out and had like 37 versus the team out in
Canada? Yeah, I played. I got University of Cape Breton. I had 36. That was my my college high. It was good, man. I had a good senior year. Sprained my ankle. I never really had 100% season, whether it was academically or physically. I feel like I could have, you know, definitely done a lot more. But I mean, it is what it is. I was blessed to have the college career I did. I mean, the friends I had and the teammates. Yeah, man, it was good. Playing at UMaine Orono, like played on that floor. Got to travel all over. It was good. Love the college life.
Do you have like a favorite teammate of yours? Or let's go with this. Who was your most talented teammate, would you say?
Most talented teammate. Oof. Damn.
I think from that time frame, I think it's Kenyon. He was only around for a year, and
My boy Glover the Lover was a talent.
He played out of position.
Yeah, man. Kenyon was a talent. He just fell into it. Had Kenyon had three more games, it probably would have been even crazier. But he came into his game a little late. He finally got that rhythm. I mean, coming out from Atlanta, I mean, that was a struggle, but he came through. I mean, he was killing it. His work ethic was like no other. I mean, he honestly, I moved in with Kenyon Glover at the end of my freshman year, and he definitely molded me, you know, and taught me a lot of things. I remember the dude looking in the mirror saying, I was meant for the TV screen, and look at him now. Shout out, you know, Mr. Goodbar. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, these guys, they took me under their wing, man. This guy said he had work ethic, taught me how to lift weights, taught me how to train. And that's when I believe probably my life took a change for the better. At that point, I started being a gym rat. I started pushing up weight. I only started lifting weights at like 21 years old. So, I mean, finally put some bones on his body. Some muscles.
Yeah, it sucks because you always learn that the important shit, like when it's too late, like you lift weights. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Had I gone back, I mean, be a whole different. I was way too young. I should have never played college ball at 17. I was a freshman at 17 years old. I should have never played college ball. The only dude who did that was Woogie. He had a successful career. Yeah, I should have never. I should have waited 4 years. You know what I mean? Played a Jose Frias, came in as a 22-year-old freshman. That would have been killing it back then.
That's what I said too. Like, looking back at it now, like 18, I shouldn't have played. But if I would have came in like a 23 or 24, like, I think I would have been ready at that.
Yeah, I was never ready to play ball because the high school experience wasn't enough to play college ball. And then the decision making, you know what I mean? And the pressure, the crunch. Yeah, I should have waited a couple of years, put some muscle on in the gym, get the fundamentals down even more. You know, but that's life. Coming from the county, we're rough living.
It's rough up there. So you talked about finally figuring out the weight room and shit like that. I think, like, one point when it all finally hit, when it all caught up, strength, good health, skill set. I think of one moment in time when it all clicked for you, and I happened to be there with you. Potato Blossom 3-on-3.
That was post leg injury though. That was post leg injury. So. My peak in time was 22 years old though. I was doing the off 2 feet reverse, you know what I mean? That was 22. Then when I broke my leg, everything changed. I think I moved back, right? And then we played in that tournament. And my leg was still weak at that point. But my upper body was, yeah. I had been in the gym, I had nothing else to do. I mean, at that point in time, being in Fort Kent, I generated a lot of that energy going to the gym. You know what I mean? Trying to recover, make something of myself after I fractured my tib and fib. That was crazy. Fractured that out at Howard Sports, playing with Robert Pillsbury, Chad Sweat. We had a great team out there playing summer ball. That's why I was working for Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I believe it was 2008. Yeah, 2008. Broke both bones, you know, going up for a layup. Changed my life, man. You know, restructured everything. And that's what blessed me to be where I'm at right now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be cutting hair.
True story. So you move back home. And
moved back home, you know, try to recover, moved to Fort Kent, ended up delivering at the appliances at Sears in Fort Kent.
Before we get to, because we'll come back to Sears.
It's a pivotal point in time. It's a big time moment.
Was this before or after you were started assistant coaching at the college?
Another blessed scenario. I broke my leg. I moved back. And then while I still had a quarter cast on, Eric Workin, who was my junior senior coach, he was like, yo, man, if you want to come out, help out the team. You know, at that point in time, I was at a, depressed stage, being that I had finally moved out of Maine, moved out of Southern Maine, living in Portland, working, had a career. And then got everything taken from me. He brought me back into the fam. And from there, even though I had a struggled college career playing ball, he still brought me in, and then I was able to, like, you know, bring the strength I had at that point in time. So I was a good vocal coach, yeah. You know what I mean? Strength training. Yeah. Even though I started off with a quarter cast, but I assisted coach for 2 years. We had two great seasons.
Give me, because I've heard stories, but give me an example of what, let's say your team was down like 20 at halftime. Like, what would you say in the locker room to your team?
I was probably one of the most unstable coaching personnel ever. But no, we had two 25 win seasons. I think we were 26-4. Oh, 26-7 and 20. Yeah, we killed it. We had it.
I can remember, like, I've talked because, you know, I was around the program at the same time. Like, I was growing up with those dudes. And I can just remember, like, guys would tell me, like, yeah, like, when Chad was assistant coaching and we'd be in layup lines, he'd be hyping us up. These dudes are whack. These guys ain't shit, right?
No, I was a traditional hype man. I mean, I was happy to be there for my dudes. I mean, whether I wasn't overly breaking down the defense, but as much as I was trying to push the dudes to do better.
Yeah.
So, that was that emotional support, for real.
So, but before we get into the, because you touched on Sears real quick, we're going to get into another round of Ethan Ash real quick.
What is your favorite memory from back in the Wisdom and UMFK days? Was it playing against a young Sean Caron and Derek Cooper? Was it playing with a young Sean Caron and Cooper? Or something completely different? Road trips with S, that whole crew. There's got to be some solid memories from that period of time. What you got?
I mean, I have a collaboration, a little bit of everything. I had an and-one dunk. I think it was my senior year. I got an outlet pass from Troy Garrett. Shout out to my boy. Big time shout out to my boy Troy Garrett out in Alberta, Medicine Hat, doing his thing, sucking that oil out this earth. Troy, good. Big shout out to my boy Troy. He threw me that full court pass. Troy was another big come up for Frenchville, though. Troy was hitting the gym, like Khalid Al-Amin, hitting the gym. He was dishing out assists. He was playing ball every night. Me and Troy lived together. That's my dude, man. But no, the long outlet pass from Troy, and I had the Chris Tupper from Washburn found me for the and-one. That was a big moment, but my first big moment was, I remember we were about, I think it was junior year, high school. We're going out to the Bangor Auditorium. You know, this is a big moment. You know, we're going to the auditorium. We always used to get out of class during the day. We could have a shoot around. You know, and that was big for me, like anything getting out of class, like balling during the day. And we had the layup line, and Jesse Levac was like, nah, you can't. And I remember I went off of 2 feet, two hands, jammed it for the first time. So that was a big moment for me. I've been a, you know, touch the rim kid to the day I was born, from Nerf hoops to everything. But dunking off 2 feet, two hands, you know, that was a big moment in time. Aside from my, you know, big 1,000-point game.
That's big time. Oh, yeah, we even talk about 1,000-point score.
Yeah, 1,000-point score. Finished with 1-1-1-1. You know, across the board. Yeah. But I had it. The trick about that is I scored my 1,000-point in Easton,
yeah.
And they never told me. And we have Madawaska home next. And that was a sellout game. So they did me a favor. So the first play of the game, I got fouled, went to the foul line. I hit one free throw. They're like, oh, 1,000-point. What the fuck? 1,000-point. So they set it up like that, you know. But it worked out well. Actually, that year, we had the 2-3 zone. We beat Madawaska. Big game. Big time, big game right there. Big time win for Wisdom High School. Yeah. Beat Madawaska at home. You know, they had a great team. They had Derek Cooper, Ben Marshall, Rusty Gee, Pennington at the center, the Jandro. I mean, they had a squad back then, but we beat him at home. Shout out to Matt Rosin, y'all. He was the coach. I have mad respect for that dude. Good ball player for me.
So you actually have the 1,000-point ball in your living room right now. Is that the actual ball, or is it just like a...
That's the actual ball.
That's the game ball from the game?
Yeah. Now, I think they might have put one aside. They just brought that one out for me.
It's brand new.
Yeah, it's icy. Like, are you kidding me? I wax that thing every month.
Yeah, yeah. The 1,000-point ball. Fuck. Good times. Big time. all right. So that's... Yeah. Those are all good memories. So you touched on it earlier. Sears. You and Sam just delivering appliances and electronics all across the valley. What
yeah, I mean, big shout out to the Loziers first and foremost. Yeah. Bob Lozier is my boy. John Lozier is my boy. Mm. Michelle and I were dating at the time. Bob hooked me up with a job, get me back on my feet.
Yeah.
Bob Lozier is a big, you know, he's a 4-can all star. He's a big OG to my life. I mean, that guy's a good representation of what a dude should be like. I mean, up home. you know, give his heart out to you. But so yeah, I started working at Sears, get my feet wet back. I wasn't moving back to Southern Maine, trying to figure out what I'm going to do with my life. So I started working at Sears with Jeff Pelletier, good old sharpshooter Jeffrey Pelletier. He had the Kobe's back then, silver Kobe's. Yeah. I think he wore those 4 years straight. It was me, Jeff Pelletier, John Lozier, and Johnny's one of my good boys. We went to Montreal together a couple times, Portland together. We go way back. So yeah, working at Sears was great. And then I had, at that point in time, it went through an ownership change. And then my boy Sammy Bard, big time shout out to Sammy Bard, he came through. So Sam and I started working together at Sears, and then the whole game changed from there.
Yeah, so you guys would make deliveries together, right?
Oh my God, deliveries.
So was the name of the game with deliveries to make it last as long as humanly possible?
So essentially, if we had a delivery in St. Agatha, Sammy B and I were driving to Madawaska to Tasty Freeze, get a hot fudge sundae with nuts, probably a barbecue puts in, chicken finger dinner, if you know what I'm saying. And then all of a sudden, we coast around, go to Lakeview, you know what I mean, check the views, piff paff, and then we'd be back down, and then we'd stop at Carol and Rogers, get some fruits from the garden, fruits and veggies, you know what I mean? And then we'd do the delivery.
So it turned into an all-day thing.
Yeah, you know what I mean? We were putting the hours in.
Oh, shit. So when did you discover the art of barbership? Barbership?
Yeah, well, you know, it comes from, I've always had a passion for getting my hair cut.
Yeah.
And when I graduated school, I told my mom I wanted to be a barber. Back then, it was only Pierre's School of Cosmetology. So my mom goes, you're not going to go to cosmetology school. And I didn't want to mess with girls' hair. You know, so that was a big thing, and I was like, you know what? All I want to do is play ball. You know what I mean? Get feet wet in the outside world. So obviously, going to Fort Kent was the big decision where I was going to stick with. But after that, I met my college teammates, and from there, I was like, damn, I'm trying to get rid of these bangs. How do you get a lineup like that? How do you get boxed out in the front?
Yeah.
You know, and Chad Sweat was cutting hair at the school back then. Other dudes were cutting hair, and I really, enjoyed watching them. I used to get my haircut from Shondell. Shondell, Salon de Levy, yeah. Shout out, big time. They held me up for a little bit. I had my little barber corner. That's where I started to work at Fort Kent. You know, after 2 years at, well, it was a year and a half at Sears, I started apprenticing at Salon de Levy, where Andrea Corvo and Shondell put me up. I mean, a pivotal moment of my life. That's when I started to follow my dream. I mean, that was the steps.
I remember getting cuts in the UMFK weight room.
Yeah, man, you know.
Getting cuts in the apartment on top of Daigle and Holton.
Yeah, and then Charlie Bard and I used to live together. I mean, it was cutting up at me and Charlie's place with Rob Rochester.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shout out right there.
Yeah, so yeah, that's quite the crew, you, Rob, and Chad. So I feel like throughout your time at school, there was just a really good group of guys to hang out, party with and stuff like that. And that leads us to our last question from Ethan Asks. Round three.
Lex Biggleton question. Lex Biggleton question, round three.
All right, so I know you've had a few trips to Vegas in your day. You spent quite a bit of time in New York City, especially in the last few years. And I know that they say that Edmonton is the Vegas of northwestern New Brunswick. So if you had a choice, New York City, Vegas, or Costigan's?
Oh, man. Best party scene. All three different stages of my life.
Yeah.
Three different stages of my life.
How about that? Like,
first, it started with Costigan's. You know,
the best party stage? What's the best stage of going out for you?
The best stage of going out is man, I don't know. Vegas and New York kind of meshed together as we get a little older. New York was the scene. But I think New York brought a lot of feeling to me. I mean, New York was real. The energy was real. People were real. The interaction was real. I love the scene. You know, mingling. You're out and about. You see everybody. Yeah, I love New York to death. New York is my spot.
I would have said Costigan's.
Yeah, I mean, Costigan's was a place of learning for me. I almost got my ass kicked from Satan from stealing a bar stool one night, which I still have in my living room because I finally did get a bar stool. Actually, Jesse Levack stole that bar stool. But yeah, back then, Costigan's, I was still naive at that point. We were pounding revs, you know what I mean? Drinking drinks, slow dancing with Megan Thiebaud on the dance floor. You know what I mean? Trying to get my grinding with Leanne Bouchard on the speaker. You know, back in the day, you know, Costigan's was a spot for his time. One more time. You know, Costigan was that spot back then. I'm blue, I'm a dean, I'm a nine. I never forget. My boy, you know, good thing that place closed down.
Yeah, that was the spot. That's still, I think, my favorite club.
That place paralyzed Sean Karen from one side of the face.
Oh, shout out to Costigan's. They need to bring him back.
Maybe let's not forget the round point days. Yeah. I mean, the round point days were some of the truest days out there.
So, like, who was the crowd? Because you started going there, what, like, 01, 02?
Yeah, the crowd. I mean, we got Burby on the cues. Burby's playing, Burby and Duma on the pool table.
Okay.
And then from there, I mean, you got everybody was going over there.
It was packed, right?
Everybody was going there. Round Point was the spot.
It was bigger because, like, after they renovated it, they put the bowl.
Yeah, it was that. That's a whole different place. Yeah, so we're talking walking the back, smoking, and, you know, everything. Round Point was a whole other level back then. Yeah, a whole other level.
The college scene, like, the college crew was good, right?
Yeah, the college crew was great. It was great. I remember.
Were you hanging out with, like, a Dylan, a Tim, and?
Everybody was hanging out together back then. Dylan, Tim.
What about Freddie? Were you cool with Freddie?
Freddie, yeah, man. Freddie was, yeah, oh my God. That dude was out of control.
He was a party animal too, right?
Freddie
was a good time.
I'm trying to think who I really actually party with back then. I mean, I was with a lot of the ball players, like me, Chad. We was always in the dorm pregame. Yeah. And then we was out and about. Yeah. We'd always walk from the dorms, freezing our ass off, walking across the bridge, getting some nachos at Irving late night.
Oh shit, that's some good stuff right there. Good question from Ethan. All right, so before we get up out of here, it's time for the segment sweeping the nation called Charles Wonders if it's true. That's what we're going with. Charles, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, if it's not my long-lost brother, Chad Gervais, a.k.a. Edward Scissorhands himself. What's good, man? It's Charlito way out here in Halifax. Dropping to ask you a little question. Just wondering, what was tougher, scoring 1,000 points, sharing the rock with Troy Garrett, because we know that dude don't like to pass the ball ever, or jumping into those skinny jeans every day? Goddamn, man, I've been seeing some pictures online. That shit is tight. So what was more difficult, scoring those points, wearing those tight jeans? Hope all is good, man. Very proud. Doing the barber thing. Keep it up. Keep representing. Charlito is out.
Charlie, great question, homie, man. Love you to death, brother. You're doing your thing out there. Beautiful family, man. Your girls are adorable. You know, best wishes to you, man. What the fuck does that mean? Yeah. But no, that's a good question. But no, them skinny jeans is tight, dog. It's a constant struggle. I've been putting some weight on my waist, dog. I've been putting some weight on right now. You know what I mean? The skinnies ain't fit. I'm looking like, you know, one of the Goomba. Walking around, you know what I mean? Like, I got a little belly right now I'm trying to get rid of. But I mean, them skinnies is a struggle every day. And I'm trying to find the ones that still got the button on the waist. You know what I mean? I'm trying to find the ones that don't hug my little chicken thighs too much. You know what I mean? The skinnies is a tough challenge, dog. It's a tough challenge. Them points one, I mean, the bucket, you know, that was a different game, but, you know, my addiction with clothes goes to another level. Exactly. My addiction with clothes.
Shout out to Charlito for the great question coming through once again. Chad, shit, that was, we went through a lot, man. We hit an hour with just.
That was crazy. That's a quick hour.
It goes by fast.
I feel like I said absolutely nothing funny. So
you're gonna be surprised.
That's something I'm gonna sleep on tonight, knowing that I didn't play two semesters of college ball and I fucked up on the fucking big time interview.
Is there anything you want to touch on before we get about it? Did we forget? How about some quick rapid fire? Lakeview or Sporting Club?
Sporting Club.
Okay, that's the only one I had.
No, I worked at Lakeview for 3 years. Lakeview taught me a lot. You know, I was grinding over there all the time. Started at $5.75 an hour, working with Trista LeBlanc, Jen Lamar. Shout out to Trista, because I had the biggest crush on her. I was 14 years old, and they were so nice to me. No doubt.
How about this? Game's on the line. You got to pass to another Gervais. Are you passing to Drew, or are you passing to Aaron for the game winner?
I'm passing to Aaron.
You're passing to Aaron?
Yeah, he's probably going to dunk on everybody. His biceps will carry him to a 12-foot rim.
Holy shit. We talked about both. You're going to go with the Twin River Classic or the Bengal Tip Off? Which
we're going Twin River Classic, hands down. You got the Fort Kent High School gymnasium at 84 degrees. you got everybody's packed up in that place. A lot of emotion.
Yeah.
You got the high school girls. You got everybody from all the towns. Yeah, the rival was there.
Okay. Your favorite place to give a cut? You're gonna go with the UMFK UMFK locker room, one of the apartments, Salon de la Vie, or your current setup here in Gorm?
The current setup is an easy answer, but also the St. Agatha garage residence.
You used to do it over there too?
Oh yeah, in the garage was all day. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Who's your you see it a lot, like with college basketball, for example, Coach K down in Duke. He has all these former assistants that go on and do big things. He's kind of like a mentor. Who are you most proud of? Like, who's like your best, most proud apprentice that came up under you in the barber game that you're most proud of right now?
As barbering wise?
Yeah, we'll go barber wise.
Barber wise, apprentice. Oh man, that's a tough question. I'm surrounded by, you know, ever since I started with Jeff Carroll, surrounded by mad talented barbers. But who would I be inspired? I don't know. I mean, I feel like I have an equal distributing on a distribution on a bunch of the barbers. So I don't know. I can't really tell. Matt Deshane is doing his thing. That's another dude I started cutting his hair when he was in high school. He's doing his thing over at Burrow. I don't know. I guess I had an equal effect on all these guys.
They're all your children, right?
Yeah, they're all my children, man. Billichick those kids.
Billichick those kids. All right. Favorite UMFK dunker of all time?
Oh, wow. Morris Young. Mo Young. Yo, coming from the... Shout out to my boy Mo, man. We go out every Christmas together. Yeah. My man's out in Phoenix. Man, Mo Young, dog. That's my dude, man.
Yeah, good choice. Before we get up out of here, that's how we end every episode. Give us a Sean Karen story real quick.
Sean Karen story. I had a good one. So it's... We're playing pickup basketball Saturday afternoon, UMFK, playing ball. All of a sudden, I'm like, yo, man, like, I'm tired of this life, man. I'm tired of, like, this is whack, man. What are we going to do tonight? Go to BJ's? So I convince Ben Raymond and Sean Karen, let's go to Quebec for the night. Let's do it. And it was the Quebec Bicentennial Summer, like the weekend, like some random stuff I heard on the radio station or whatever. Like, yo, let's go to Quebec. We're only a couple of, so Ben agrees to driving, which he always did. You know, the Sharif of the dude, you know, the Sharif of the bunch had all the Talib Kweli. He got all the roots. He got all the classics built up in the little Corolla. So we pack up the Corolla, me, Sean, and Ben. We're going across the border, and you know, I had rolled a little blind on this. We're all nervous, like, across the border, and ended up going, you know, where are you guys headed? No, actually, we're headed over to we're just going over here for like, no, we're like, no, we're gonna go to Quebec. And the guy's like, oh, here's the directions. It's only 2 hours and 45 minutes away. Have a good night. I'm like, oh, damn, get across the border. We're driving out there, and we go into this one hotel. All the places are booked out. We go into this one hotel. We just go in. We're in the lobby like this. No, we're sold out. Take a piss. So I come out of the lobby, and I mean, me, Ben, and Sean were in some good shape at that time. So this guy goes, hey, what are y'all doing? Dumbass me goes, you know, we're here for, we're playing football. You know, we were here. Oh, really? They're like, oh, well, you're playing football. And Ben had a Syracuse football. So I was like, yeah, you know, he's like, oh, serious. Where are you guys playing? And I was like, oh, we're playing at the college down the, and then I look over at Ben and Sean, they're like, nah, man. And there was no college I could possibly think. So we just stormed out the place. But nah, me, Sean, and Ben end up getting a room. We get this, like, luxury suite with a rock walls and everything one night. But no, the story, I had multiple good nights with Sean.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't count the nights Sean and I have been out together. Sean the bomb. And then we also rap battled. That was on MySpace. Me and Sean rap battled. You're the one who recorded that, by the
Rum
way.
Rum and Cokes,
dog. That was all day. That was big time right there. Rum and Cokes.
That was big time. Fuck. Chad, that shit was big time right there. That was a fucking...
That was big time. Big time. Like with most things in my life, I felt I should have done better. But I gave it all I had tonight. It's not many nights Chad Gervais don't go out on a Saturday night. I put this aside. We had some Buffalo Wild Wings. Came to the shop. We got it done.
We had a fucking amazing night. Shout out to Chad. Chad, thank you for making this happen. Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Gervais, St. Agatha legend on Big Time. Thank you for listening.
God bless. Thank you.
Yeah, tune in next time for another big, big episode. I'm out.